Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Would you just declare peace to Israel? Declare peace to Israel. Declare peace in the north. Declare peace in the south. Declare peace in the east. Declare peace in the west. The psalmist says, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and he heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Declare peace over your home and peace in your community. Peace when you wake up and peace when you lie down. Peace going out and peace wherever you, whatever place you enter into. You declare peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist then says this. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And if you're here this morning and you have not trusted in God, you are in the right place at the right time. You have made the first step to get into the place where his word will be proclaimed. Let's look to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. This is really the day that you have made. We shall rejoice. We have rejoiced and we'll continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father, that, Lord God, we have this great opportunity before us to embrace you, to receive you, to believe you, to trust in you, and to be able to declare like the psalmist, the Lord is good. God, we thank you for every person that is assembled in our midst right now. We thank you, God, for your peace, your shalom over their minds. We thank you that you undergird them with strength. We thank you, God, that you give them the capacity to understand, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for just casting down every downcasting presence that is overshadowing them now. Every mind-blinding power of the enemy that would cause their minds to be blinded, oh God, to your word. Because your word has come and light has come to shine. I pray, God Almighty, that the eyes of the understanding will be opened. And I thank you, for God, that your word is quick and sharp and powerful. I praise you, God, that it will do mighty work in our midst. And God, you will be glorified. You will be magnified and you will be exalted in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is my pleasure. Again, it is a great honor for me to have this opportunity to present myself before the Lord and then to present myself before his people. And to be able to share whatever he has given me to share. And I take it not lightly. I bless the Lord for the Apostolic Church and the membership. I bless the Lord for the leaders and their commitment and their steadfastness in proclaiming the word of God and in lifting up his name above every other name. And so I thank God for it. We are in a season that is called Advent. And Advent is a time of preparation for the second coming, really, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's also a time of commemoration of his birth. And so for the Christian believers, for the Christians, this should be an exciting time. It really is an exciting time for a believer. And yet still, it is said that at this time of year, more than any other time of the year, more people experience stress, loneliness, depression, disappointment, anxiety, frustration, and even a sense of hopelessness, this doom and gloom come over them at this time period in the year, more than at any other point in time of the year. And so this begs the question, why? Why at this particular time of the year? I think we'll address this question, maybe try and address this question a little later at some point. But I want to look at these two portions of scriptures that is before us. When in Isaiah's, in chapter 9, Israel was facing a season of uncertainty, great uncertainty, doubts, and great fear. They had gone through, and as we're going through, time of oppression, the North Kingdom, which is Israel, was besieged. Yet in the midst of this, the prophet proclaimed the greatest news that mankind could ever hear. Isaiah spoke of a coming deliverer who will effect changes in the nation and would lead to joy and prosperity. There's a personal application in this for you and I. And the personal application is this. In the midst of all that is happening, based upon what I just said, that people are so stressed out and people are feeling the sense of loneliness and sense of hopelessness at this time. The personal application for you and I is that in the midst of all that's happening in our society, you and I must proclaim this good news also. Somebody say amen. You and I must proclaim the good news. The psalm says, hark, the angels sing glory to the newborn king.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, our society today is deeply troubled. There's emotional and mental oppression. Mental health has never been as great a subject matter in the history of mankind as it is now. The mind has been oppressed physically and spiritually, abused. And so our society is troubled and it's oppressed. And this society that we're living in, believe it or not, is lost in darkness. I said, believe it or not, but you and I have encountered people and in our presentation of the gospel to them, we recognize that there's something that is dark about their response.
Yes.
Our society is lacking in direction. And people have lost hope. We know people who have lost hope. And at this season of at this time of the year, they are stressed by financial demands and family obligation. And the pressure of the mind is being bombarded by all the advertising that you see, all the advertisement. If you go to the stores, it's there. If you turn the television on, it's there. If you look on your phone, it is there. If you go to the computer, it is there. So this is the mind is under such great attack. Left, right, and center, east, west, north, south. This is it's been bombarded by these commercialization of this season. You hear Christmas carols being sung. They may be singing joy to the world, but they really don't know or have this joy. They really don't know the joy. They sing it because it has become a cultural thing rather than something that they have experienced personally. They sing peace on earth, but they have no peace. And Pastor Henry mentioned, they have no peace. Our world really is in turmoil right now as it exists. And many of them are searching for answers, but they're doing so in the wrong places and from the wrong sources. Hallelujah. What a time for the Christian believers to let their light so shine that others may see and glorify our Father which is in heaven. What an opportunity that we have in this time of darkness, of oppression of the mind, to be able to proclaim the good news to them. The Bible introduces us to a Savior. And, you know, our life's journey and our Christian experience is preparing us to meet this Savior. It's preparing us to meet Him. And one thing we do know is that this event is certain. We will meet Him. We will meet Him. We will meet Him at some point in time. If we die, we'll meet Him. And if we so live until He comes, we'll meet Him. But it is a certainty that we will meet Him. Hallelujah. So we have two passages of scriptures which were read. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to what? Order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever." And it says, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Wherever you see the zeal of the Lord of hosts, it means that He is in war mood. He is on a part. This is where He is a fighting God, the Lord of Sabaoth. In Colossians 1 and 19, it says, "For it pleased the Father," I want you to capture this, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," Jesus, "should all fullness dwell." Much of society is busy with the festivity of the Christmas season. It's characterized by, you know, office parties, shopping for gifts, decorations of home, Christmas tree lighting, etc. But I want to use these scriptures, these two scriptures this morning, to speak to you using a title, "Jesus is the Full Package." Amen. He's not some of God. He is all of God. Somebody say amen. He's the full package that addresses all the needs of mankind. He's the full package for Jew and for Gentile. He's the full package that deals with principalities and powers. Make sure to embrace the full package. He's the perfect package without blemish. Somebody say amen. So I invite you this morning to examine the package more thoroughly. And you'll find some surprises. I guarantee you, you'll not be disappointed. He's for all seasons, all nations, and all mankind. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So in the midst of going through, another personal application for us is, regardless of how dark the days are, and regardless of how troubled the days are, do not panic, but continue to trust in God. Somebody said, trust in God. Yes, do not in the darkness that is around us. Don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed by the discouragement that is abounding, and the depression and the darkness and the bad news. There is some good news that we have. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So our responsibility is to trust in God, not to panic, to trust in God. Because we win. God has given us the assurance that we have the victory. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how discouraging it gets. My encouragement this morning is, do not panic, but to trust in God. We tend to diminish Christ as just a little baby during this Christmas season.
That's right.
The focus is almost like this is a little baby. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the full package. The full package. He's the full package. He's everything that mankind needs. He meets every need. He's the full package. He doesn't come up short in one area. He's victorious in every area and every aspect of life. He's the full package. All of God dwells in him. When God gave this son, he didn't come lacking in anything. He came fully loaded. He's the full package. He came and he worked miracles, and he's still working miracles. He's still setting captives free. He was anointed, the word says, to loosen chains and to open the prison doors. He, to declare the good news, is a full package. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want this morning, as you think about Christ and you think about Christmas, that your mind gravitate to little baby Jesus. He's the Lord of hosts, mighty and strong. He's holy. He's worthy. He's magnificent. He's an awesome God. And we worship him as such. We don't worship a little baby. We worship the Lord of hosts, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Emmanuel God with us, the great I am, the one who gives victory, who crowns us with loving kindness. He crowns us with tender mercies. The full package is in him. He is the full package. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He is the full package. He is the full package. He is the full package. Whatever you stand in need of, the psalmist says, this poor man cried out unto the Lord. And he heard him. And saved him out of all his troubles. Some troubles. He saved him out of all of his troubles. He is the full package.
Amen.
There's no sickness that can take over your body that God cannot heal. He's the full package.
Amen.
One person write that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal, because he's the full package.
Amen.
There's no enemy that you can face that the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth cannot take down. It's a full package.
Amen.
When he brought Israel out of Egypt, he brought them out with their hands raised, a mighty hand, by his mighty hand, because he's a full package. It's the same God that we're serving today. We're not serving a God that is unable to deliver. We're not worshippers of Baal, who was unable to deliver. But the God that answers by fire delivers, and he's still the full package.
Amen.
Every other God is a smoke screen, but my God is a consuming fire, because he is the full package. I want to get off of this, but I still feel like somebody needs to hear that he is the full package.
Yes, he is.
He's the full package. I don't know where you are in life and what are your circumstances, and if you're bound, but I'm saying that he's the full package.
Glory.
He's the full package.
Glory, glory.
Sickness in your body, you declare, he's still the full package.
Yeah.
Not enough funds, we think, but he's the full package.
Amen.
He will not leave you or forsake you. Why? Because he's the full package. I have what you need. I am who you need. He's the full package. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. And so we worship the God who is greater than any. He's above all. He's a full package. So don't diminish him. Don't let the advertisement cause you to diminish him. Don't let the advertisement cause you to feel as if you don't have enough, that you don't have enough. He's sufficient for you. He's a full package. He's a full package. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. God, I bless you, oh God. And I acknowledge today that you are the full package. You are everything that we stand in need of, my Lord. You are the full package. You are the great I am, and you are the full package. God, I thank you. Somebody stand in need, perhaps of a miracle, oh God, in their life. Lord God, somebody have walked with you for a long time, oh God, and they're still waiting, Lord God. Even like Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel, they're waiting for a consolation. God, but I'm here to decree back to them this morning that you are still the full package.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I praise you, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you. I praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to look at verse 6 of chapter 9 of Isaiah and identify four descriptive names. Two of them, one, I combine two thoughts here. Four descriptive names that is used concerning this son which is given. It says he will be a wonderful counselor, meaning he's exceptional and distinguished. He's an authoritative one. He's not like the counselors of others, like how others counsel. And so I'm saying to you, because I know that he's a wonderful counselor, I'm saying to you this morning, whatever he says, you are to accept it. You are to embrace it. And you are to believe it.
Yes.
In the book of John, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they sent the temple officers to arrest Jesus. And they went back to them empty-handed. There was no Jesus. They couldn't arrest him. And they asked this chief officer, the temple officers, why have you not brought him? And their statement was simple. The officers answered, never man spake like this man. The power of the word, the counsel of the word, so it was so awesome. They who were supposed to be arresting him were awestruck. And I think the chief priest asked them, are you, you know, like, have you gone believing him as well? Why? Because he's a mighty counselor. Many of us have been in the place of our life at times when we just need a word from God. And when that word hit in our spirit, it produces life because the word of God is quick and sharp and it's life producing. It represents the counsel of heaven. He's a wonderful counselor. He's almighty God. That's the second descriptive of him, mighty God. It means that through him, God's full power will be on display. We have seen it in the word. We have seen it in life.
Yes. Yes.
When Jesus was about to, when he was in Gethsemane and he was coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to arrest him, and Jesus asked them, who are you looking for? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. All Jesus said was unto them, I am he. The Bible says, and as soon as they heard him, it says that they went backward and fell to the ground. The power of God on display. He's a mighty God. And he could do a lot more. He could do a lot more to them. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, when it talks about John talks about when he saw him, he said, I fell at his feet as dead. He says, he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, fear not. And I'm here to declare to you, fear not. He says, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And he says, and I have the keys of hell and of death. He is the full package. From first to the last. Beginning to the end. And he's the third descriptive of him in this verse, this is everlasting Father. That's chapter verse 6 of chapter 9. Meaning forever. And when it says everlasting Father, this is his relationship to time. But also, he has a fatherly concern and care for his people. He has a fatherly concern for you and I. Isaiah declares, he says that, where the Lord says, fear not, for I am he, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. In the season of darkness, in the season of discouragement for people, in the season of loneliness, God, I pray that word go out to them today. Be not dismayed. May they know that you are God. The word says, for I am thy God. May they know you are thy God. It says, I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. Hallelujah. Somebody receive that blessing this morning. Fear not. The Lord is with you. Glory to God. And the fourth descriptive of him in this verse is Prince of Peace. Meaning his rulership is characterized by justice and righteousness. It says to his disciples in John 14, peace I leave with you. He says, my peace I give unto you. Oh, not as the world give it, give I unto you. Then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May that word minister to someone's heart. That the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The first two references that I've mentioned, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, these names refer to the character of this King that we serve, this Lord that we serve. And then the two designation of Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. It refers to the type of reign, the character of the reign. Mighty. Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Verse 7 of chapter 9 talks about of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it. May God order our lives. May we always remember that God is ordering our lives. To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When it talks about the zeal of the Lord, it's the activity of God. The zeal of God himself. He will perform it. This is hope and assurance to a world that is longing for change and social justice. His government and his peace will never end. For those who are longing for change, it's finally a ruler who rules with perfect wisdom, perfect power, perfect care, perfect peace, perfect justice, perfect righteousness. This is what the world is longing for. I don't care who is in what office, wherever it is. You and I can walk the streets and just declare peace. 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 Yes, yes. Peace. Yes, perfect wisdom. Is the full package. That's what I'm saying. Is the full package. All of God is in him. If you can possibly pour water from one bottle into another, all of it, not even a drop left. That's a picture of what happened. God poured all of himself into his son and then gave his son to us. It's the same, everything about the water, its content, its nature, its power, its abilities, everything was poured out in him. The full package. Nothing lacking. Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory.
So all of this is made possible by, it says, the zeal of the Lord. Meaning it's not dependent upon man, but that God shall do it. And I want to tell you, it is guaranteed. This is not an if might happen. This is surely will happen. It's a guarantee from God. I've come to order it, to establish it. I've come to set in place the things that are lacking. It's a guarantee. Someone once said that God does not start anything unless he has already completed it. When we look at it, it is so true. He doesn't start anything he has not completed.
Amen.
You were born for a purpose. That purpose is already complete in God. When God started you off on your journey in your mother's womb, you were already complete with everything that you need, a plan for your life, a purpose for your life. So in God's mind, Calvary happened before Bethlehem. The job was complete before it began. But when the fullness of time came, he sent his son. Hallelujah. That should give us some hope to know that, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the full package is with me. God is with me. The full package is with me. He says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The full package is with me. The full package is with you. You don't walk alone. You are not defeated. You have the full package with you. You are fully loaded. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In this, when we look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, it gives an insight into the mind, the will, and the purpose of God. When it says that the fullness of God dwells in him, he said God, divine nature, his full power, his perfect presence, and his permanent presence is with God, is with Jesus. And Jesus helps us to understand that he's with us and that he has all power. In Matthew 28 and 18, he gives us our directive. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He didn't lack anything. He's the full package. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he did this. He gives them the instruction. Go. Go, ye therefore. Because I have the full package, I have the authority, I have the power, I have the ability. So now you go. Ye therefore, and teach, and preach, and witness,
Amen.
And testify,
Amen. Amen.
And speak peace where you go. So we are not serving an impotent God, but we are serving an omnipotent God, having all powers, lacking nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, have blessed the mind of your people that there is an understanding that when you sent your son, you didn't send him lacking how to do guesswork. You had already created it. Ephesians 2 and 10 says that you created good works ahead of us so that we may walk in them. The path is set. This is clear. It's almost like you opened the Red Sea and caused Israel to go through on dry land. You have created that path for us to walk in it. You are the full package, Lord. In Colossians chapter, in this first chapter, when you look at verse 15, from verse 15 down to verse 20, it highlights about seven things about Jesus. And I'm going to just mention them, and I'm going to talk this, elaborate on any of on them, so to speak. It says he's the image of God. It also says he's the firstborn over creation. It says he's the creator of the universe. These are four, number four says he's the head of the church. Five, he's firstborn from the dead. Six, he's the fullness of God, and that's the one that I got stuck on. He's the fullness of God. But I also got stuck with verse number 7 too. He's the reconciler of all things. In other words, he's bringing back things in alignment. Whatever issues are there in our life, whatever has gone awry, whatever has caused us to go astray like sheep, whatever has caused us to doubt or to be discouraged, God, the full package, is will reconcile it back to himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he's reconciling it back to himself in that 20th verse of Colossians chapter 1. It says, and having made, here's the word again, peace. Hallelujah. Somebody shout peace. Peace, Lord, peace. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile what? All things unto himself. By him I say, whether there be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now as he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you and me holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He's the full package. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There are lessons that we can learn from these. And there are some personal applications that we must attend to. And one of the personal applications is that we must remain true to God and trust him to shape the circumstances of our lives. We must remain true to God and trust him to share the circumstances of our life. Don't buy the lie from the enemy that you're lacking anything. I'm here to declare to somebody today to trade in your sorrows today. The Bible says he's a man of sorrow and acquainted with our grief. I'm inviting you to trade in your grief today. Isaiah declared it in chapter 53, and he says, he's despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You can trade in your sorrows and grief today. Don't despise him and reject him. Trade in your doubts today. I'm inviting you to trade your doubts in today. I'm inviting you to trade your fears today. Wherever doubt exists, I'm inviting you to trade it in today. And like what the songwriter says when he says, I'm pressing on the upward way. In the second stanza, it says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Somebody needs to press for higher ground today. Somebody needs to trade in their sorrow today. Somebody needs to trade them in for Jesus. He's the full package. Jesus is the full package. Make the trade today. Somebody needs to press in today. Somebody needs to step out by faith and beg, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. A higher place than I have found, Lord, plant my feet, O Lord, on higher ground. Somebody needs to be shaken. Somebody needs to be let loose that you may step out in boldness and see the higher ground of God. Somebody needs to step out this morning in the name of Jesus. And I pray this morning that this may be a birthing season of new converts. God, I declare a birthing season for new converts. And a personal application for us is that make full use of the opportunity to proclaim the good news. Isaiah declared the good news. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The full package is given. God was pleased to dwell in him in his fullness. So if you're here this morning, you're playing church. If you're here this morning and you don't know him as Lord and Savior, if you hear, I know he's troubling our hearts, because I remember in December, in November of 1990, when my life was raggedy, I just knew something was happening. I could not explain it until when I finally accepted him as Lord and Savior. It's like the whole world just lifted off my shoulder. My burdens just got lifted up. My habits changed. My desires changed. My longing changed. And now I'm thirsting after the Father. Now I seek the face of the Lord. Now I need him every day. Now I'm lost if I don't get his presence on a daily basis. And you hear this morning, and the Lord is speaking to you specifically, because that's what he does. And you need to respond. You don't need to wait another moment. You need to surrender. And that's it. If that's you, just say, Lord, I need you. Lord, we need you. If you have never trusted him, you have to trust him. You must trust him to be able to receive this full package. Don't be like one of those who despise him and reject him. It says, when we come to him, we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Hallelujah.
So God, I bless you for these who have come. I bless you for those who have responded in their heart. Those who have acknowledged that I've never known you. I've been around church. I've been around the word of God, but I really don't know you. Or I'm struggling in my relationship with you. I thank you for these, Lord. And I thank you, God, that your word has been sharp. And I thank you for your responses. I thank you for breaking down the walls that have been built up in their lives. I thank you for the full counsel of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, God, for setting them completely free. I thank you, O God, that somebody this morning has desired to have a fresh start. And Lord God, you are that start. Somebody stepped out this morning, Father, and is, Lord, they can declare after this, the Lord is good. The psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm letting somebody know that you too can come in and experience that and taste the goodness of God. He is the full package. Lord, I pray now, oh God, for our full surrender. I bless you, Father, for these who have come. I bless you for the power of your word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. And I thank you, Father, for a season of birthing for new converts. Thank you, Lord, for an harvest of souls. We long for you, O Father. We cherish your presence morning, noon, and night. And I thank you, O God, that we are not alone, but we have the full package with us. And your promise is you'll never leave and you'll never forsake us. Thank you, God, for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody just give him praise. Bless the Lord. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He's an awesome God. There's no other God. There's none like him. We praise him. We praise you, Lord. We're not lacking in anything. We have everything, oh God, that we stand in need of. You are a great and mighty Savior. You are a healer. You are a deliverer. You are the God of the breakthrough. You are the Lord of hosts. You are a provider. You are a protector. You are our peace. We thank you. You are our joy. We thank you. You are our hope. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for health and strength. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.